A defiant Jeffrey Skilling took questions from Congress today. Skilling is the former CEO of Enron, who abruptly resigned last August, just as questions about the company were starting to mount. Many consider him the man responsible for transforming Enron from a relatively unknown natural gas company to a Wall Street darling. Skilling surprised many observers by agreeing to appear before the House Commerce Investigation Subcommittee today. He told the panel that he is devastated by what Enron has come to represent.
I know that no words can make things right. Too many people have been hurt too much. I am here today because I think Enron's employees, shareholders, and the public at large have the right to know what happened. I have done all I can to help this investigation.
Four other current or former Enron officials took the fifth rather than expose themselves to the possibility of self-incrimination. NPR's Emily Harris has been monitoring the Enron hearings. Emily, tell us what Skilling has had to say today.
Well, his main message was that when he left the company last August, he had no idea that Enron was facing imminent financial peril. Skilling said he that knew of no off-book deals that were designed to hide debt or to inflate profits. He said that special purpose entities, which these deals are commonly known as, are often used in corporate America to manage company risk. And Skilling also said that he thought proper internal controls were in place at Enron, and he thought that they were being followed. He thinks Enron failed because it wasn't liquid enough when confidence in the company dropped. And his perception of the problem with the off-books partnerships actually directly contradicts parts of a special report on the company's collapse that was commissioned by the board of directors and was released last weekend.
How did the committee react to his testimony?
Oh, they were very, very skeptical, basically grilled him. Before Skilling came on, the committee heard from two top executives who still work at Enron. Both of these men say that they had concerns about these off-book partnerships and that they had brought those concerns to the attention of Mr. Skilling. Members of Congress really focused in on one of these employees. It's a man named Jeff McMahon. He was just promoted to president and chief operating officer of Enron last week, but he's worked there for 6 years, and in previous positions, he became uncomfortable, he said, with some of the deals that were being done between Enron and one off-book partnership called LJM. Mr. McMahon said he was being asked to do things that he felt were not in the interest of Enron's shareholders. And on March 16th of last year, he said he took these concerns to Mr. Skilling. The committee had copies of a document that McMahon called his talking points that outlined his worries and what he said to Skilling in this meeting. And McMahon says that after a half an hour talk, Skilling said that he understood McMahon's concerns and that he, Skilling, would remedy the situation.
So, Jeff?
But the next thing McMahon heard, this is the kicker, is that he was reassigned.
So Jeff McMahon says he brought his concerns to Jeffrey Skilling in March of last year and says that Skilling promised to fix the problems. Does Skilling agree with that version?
No, he doesn't. Lawmakers specifically asked Skilling about that McMahon meeting, and Skilling said that he remembers talking about McMahon's compensation, and he remembers he said to McMahon that he would back him up on anything McMahon felt he needed to do to protect shareholder interests. But the chairman of the committee, the subcommittee, Congressman Peter Greenwood, said he can basically believe either McMahon or Skilling, but not both, and he pointed out that both men were under oath when they were speaking to the committee. Earlier, the committee had also heard from a top Enron lawyer who said he was very uncomfortable with off-book partnerships as soon as he learned about them, and that was back in late 2000. This man, Jordan Mintz, said that according to protocol, Skilling needed to sign off on the partnerships, and Skilling contends he didn't have to do that. Skilling basically kept repeating that when he left the company on August 14th, he had no idea anything was wrong, but that attempt to distance himself didn't work very well either. One problem is that Skilling left just a day before a lower-level employee, Sharon Watkins, wrote an anonymous letter to the Ken Lay, the company's founder, and she told him the partnerships were trouble, the company could collapse, and members of Congress wanted to know if she knew this. She was just a vice president. Why didn't Skilling, who was CEO?
NPR's Emily Harris. Thanks a lot.